off the topic of telehealth and roll it all into one and speak to their clinical director for the organisation HealthBright with Michelle Olouth. Michelle, great to meet you. Thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you for your time, Pete. It's great to talk about this topic. It's very important.
Very important. I sense it's very passionate as far as you're concerned. You're the clinical director, so and you're a psychologist, so I guess you kind of know how important this is.
Yeah, I working as a clinician for quite some time, I think I can see amazing changes when people work on their mental health, and also very passionate about getting this out to regional and rural areas, because there's just not enough, you know, health professionals that can get out to those areas, and so people just miss out on being able to get the care. And then on a personal note, I actually was a little country girl, grew up in the wheat and sheep farms myself.
Okay, which state?
Over in WA, so I grew up
All
in
All right. Hmm. Yeah, well, that's a long way from anywhere, isn't it? Well, potentially.
It is.
Well, there's nothing like, I guess, having that lived experience or kind of getting what it's about. Well, tell us how important it is. I guess COVID kind of alerted us a lot more city slickers to the issues and maybe you know, brought that telehealth a bit closer to our homes. But for people in regional areas, that's kind of a 24/7 issue.
Yeah. So, because, I mean, if you look at the number of people experiencing poor mental health is still around the same in regional and rural areas. In fact, they come up generally higher on matters of life satisfaction, like saying they feel more connected with their community. But when their mental health is a problem, then they can't access services because they just have sort of about 1/6 of the healthcare providers available to them, and the wait lists are absolutely massive.
How effective can telehealth be compared to face-to-face health?
Oh, that's a great question, Pete. And that's something that a lot of people worry about and why they don't go to telehealth. But we've got meta-analyses now, and that's one of our highest levels of evidence that shows that face-to-face and telehealth for mental health are as effective.
And I guess the relationship as well is important. I guess trusting, you know, feeling comfortable, feeling like the person at the other end of the phone or other side of the table or whatever setting it is, you kind of trust that they're going to be able to help you as well. That's kind of important, that relationship.
Yeah, actually, that's a really important point you're making. That's what some of the research shows us as well. So we look at the relationship as the most important vehicle for making things work, and trust is one of the important components there. So treatment plans kind of add to about 20% of the effect, but 80% of the effect is the relationship with the therapist.
So I guess in terms of your advocacy or campaign, call it what you like, where is it at and why is it important to sort of be speaking out now?
So we're actually really lucky. We have most of our, or 40% of our clients actually come from regional and rural areas already. And what we're doing now is we're trying to reach out to other organisations that might get sort of care further out, like Mission Australia or Care is WA or Centre Care, and we're trying to collaborate with them to try to fill up some of their wait list time. Our wait lists, because we have quite a unique type of clinic, are only about 1 to 2 weeks, whereas a lot of other organisations, they're already super stretched and their wait lists are 3-6 months, or they've closed their books.
Well, just a bit more about HealthBright. You joined late last year.
Yep, joined late last year and started working as a psychologist on their platform. And then when they said that we were going to start applying for accreditation and really increasing our offering, I put my hand up and said, oh, I'd love to do a bit more.
Tell us a bit more about the accreditation.
So our company, there's a new set of digital mental health standards that the Australian government have put out, and they're trying to get a lot of companies to be accredited by these standards to ensure that their services are really top-notch. And we're currently undergoing that accreditation ourselves to demonstrate that we have an excellent clinical governance structure and all of our services follow some amazing privacy and sort of safety regulations.
Is that a concern at all with people? I guess the fact that it's kind of online or not face-to-face, is the privacy or the potential of intrusion, for the want of a better term, is that something that might make someone a bit reluctant to kind of join in or telehealth?
Yeah, I think it would be. And that's why it's such an important thing to go through the process of accreditation and ensure you have all of the best you know, things in place to ensure people have their privacy secured. And that's the reason that we've volunteered to go through the process. And it should give people that extra sort of sense of security. But also on the other side of things, people in rural communities often feel like because it's so close-knit, they're very visible. And so if they have a psychologist in the community, sometimes they express concern about their confidentiality or privacy. That they then don't feel is an issue when someone, I guess, comes in from outside of the community. They feel like they can talk a lot more freely.
That's a great point, isn't it? It's sort of the good and the bad, or the yin and the yang of a country town, isn't it? Everyone knows everyone's business.
That's it. Exactly. And it's a wonderful thing. But I imagine when you've got something a bit more private, close to heart, you need a bit more privacy.
Yeah, no, I think we can all identify with that. You touched a little bit on your background, and I guess, you know, one of the things that drives you because of sort of that lived experience of country life in the early days. What about your other practitioners? Do they kind of draw upon similar sort of experiences, or can you kind of train someone to work in that area effectively?
Yeah, so Pete, what you're talking about is cultural competency, and lived experience gives people, you know, can give people the experiences they need to be able to, I guess, understand someone's culture and point of view. But also we have a lot of cultural competency training that we offer to our psychologists, and we ask them to give us information on things that they might do, like speak other languages or previous experience they've had working in regional and remote or working with our First Nations folks, so that then when clients come to us, we can do better matching.
Okay, that's important, isn't it? Because I guess it's what we spoke about earlier, isn't it? The kind of trusting and kind of believing that the person is going to be able to help you or kind of get what you're about as well.
Exactly, Pete. That's actually something I'm really passionate about, is ensuring that clients know that the therapy moves through the relationship. So if you're just not feeling it with your current therapist, it's okay to shop around and try and find someone who might match you better.
Mm, good message. If people want to find out more, or what's next for you then? What's kind of next step for you? What's in the pipeline?
Yeah, sure. So we're trying to reach out to some of those organisations that already service the regional and remote areas and see if we can collaborate with them, like we've just recently done with the Victoria Tasmania PHN. And then if people want to find out more about our service, they can come and visit us at healthbright.com.au and have a look at our psychology, our psychiatry and our GP services and our specialised men's mental health psychologists as well.
That's pretty important as well, isn't it? Maybe, you know, without being too either gender bias or too much stereotyping, perhaps countrymen kind of think, well, you know, I'm bulletproof or I don't need that sort of stuff. So you're kind of trying to break down that veneer.
Yes, completely. And our men's mental health specialists, they understand that they need to come from a strengths-based approach and come with a solutions-based sort of focus as well, because it's what men are often, not, you know, to sort of, I guess, group too much, but a lot of men are often looking for that approach. And so our specialists have been sort of trained in that men's culture.
That's very, very much fit for purpose as far as what you're providing, which is really, really important. Can people contact you direct, as in individuals?
Yeah, sure. So if they want to get a hold of us, they can come to our website or they can contact us at team. So the email directly is team@someone.health, and that's where they can send them. That will go through to the rest of our support squad, who can send them through to where they need to go.
All right. Do you want to give us your website again?
Yeah, sure. So our website is healthbright.com.au.
All right. What we can do, Michelle, is also put that up on our Facebook page. So if people want to go there, they can find it, or they can always call us here at Vision Australia Radio, and we'd be more than happy to pass on your details. Michelle, it's been a delight talking to you. Hopefully we can speak to you again in the future.
It was such a lovely time chatting to you as well, Pete. Thank you for making the time and space to discuss this important issue.
You're far too kind. There she goes. That's the clinical director for Healthbright, Michelle Arlath, who is speaking to us about that very important topic of telehealth and mental health, particularly for our colleagues and friends in the regions and rural areas of Australia.